Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Start the week off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so swing on over there and check those out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Oops. That figures. I'm on a different screen. Okay, Dan, what was that Twitter feed? I didn't know you fell off.
Dan the Man is 3E.
Well, at 3E's with 3E's, they'll figure it out. Either way, Dan is out there too. But all right, Dan, well, let's kick off our Monday with your fantasy player and pitcher of the week.
Now you're messing with me. Well, it just had to be Scooter Jeanette.
Yeah.
Do I really need to
so
that?
For
for the batter.
So I think he won NL Player of the Week too. I'll just kind of—I don't even know what he did the rest of the week. He just had that one game. So
yeah, but you know, it was enough. So and then I was going back and forth with a couple of different pitchers, but I settled on Carlos Martinez. So he would have really helped you out your yearly or your daily if you had him. I forgot to write down the numbers.
I know he had a complete game shutout. What was it? Saturday against the Phillies. So that was a big plus there. So yeah, Dan's going with Scooter Jeanette and Carlos Martinez. So there you go. See if you like his choices or if not. And we'll see how that works out for us all. Who else? What other pitchers were you looking at?
I think Chris Sale. Because of the strikeout count.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I look at so many players, I kind of forget who does what and, you know, how it all works out. But, you know, just one of the many, many things that I make Dan do. But I did piece together a FanDuel lineup tonight, and I was, I'm trying something, I guess you could call it a little different here. I did use the good old oddshark.com, and their prediction metric, or however they do it, has the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim as the lowest scoring team tonight. They are scheduled to score just 1.7 runs. They're facing the Yankees, so Masahiro Tanaka is pitching for the Yankees tonight. I was a little worried about this when I saw this because Tanaka hasn't been very good as of late. But, I'm going to go with the run. So I plugged Tanaka in for $7,900. We're working on that. And then using that same system, they have the Yankees, Rockies, White Sox, and Red Sox as the higher scoring teams. They didn't have the Yankee lineup out yet, so I was a little worried about filling in with some of their guys, especially since they played yesterday and then had to fly all the way across country. I don't know if they were going to going to rest guys, but I did end up with two Rockies, two White Sox, and two Red Sox throughout my lineup. Here's what I ended up with. For $2,800 at catcher, I have Troy Walters of the Rockies. He's hitting eighth in their lineup. $3,300 at first base, I'm going with Jose Abreu of the White Sox. He's hitting third tonight for them. Also for $3,300 at second base, I'm going with Dustin Pedroia of the Red Sox. He's batting second for them tonight. Third base is at $4,100 is Nolan Arenado of the Rockies. He's batting third for them tonight. Shortstop at $3,100 is Tim Anderson of the White Sox, and he's actually in the leadoff spot for them tonight. The outfield is where it gets a little different. I went with Jonas tonight. Jonas Cespedes for $4,000. He's hitting third in the Mets lineup tonight. I'm going to stick with George Springer. He's leading off for the Astros tonight. He cost me $3,500. And then I round out the outfield with Andrew Benintendi of the Red Sox, who is $2,800, and he's hitting fifth for them tonight. So I end up with Tanaka pitching, Walters catching, Abreu at first, Pedroia at second, Arenado at third, Anderson at short, and then my outfield is Cespedes, Springer, and Benintendi. So there you go. Again, that's for the 705 main, which means, let me double check as it comes up here. Come on, there you go. You got just about 28 minutes to get your lineup in. So hopefully you will have some good luck. And I didn't see any rain or anything, so I don't think that's going to be a big issue. But yeah, I got to tell you, Dan, I was quite surprised when it wasn't. I thought for sure the Braves would be predicted as the lowest scoring team tonight, and I would be attempting to build a lineup around Steven Strasburg, who's the most expensive pitcher at $11,400. So yeah, it was kind of a pleasant surprise to find, you know, Tanaka for $7,500, and that's the prediction. So man, I hope they're right, because that's a huge money saver.
Very huge. I mean, he's been kind of off lately. I have got him in my yearly. I hope he, you know, pitches well. I need another win.
Yeah, you know, the other guy I liked who's pitched really well has been Kyle Freeland, is making the start for the Rockies today. He's even a little farther down. He's $7,700. But, you know, when I was kind of going over things, I think they have the Pirates predicted to score four runs. They still have the Rockies set to win the game. I think they've got it as like a pegged it as like a 6-4 game or something like that. But, you know, I thought about it. I was like, oh, maybe I'll spend this money. And then I just thought, no, you know, here's, you know, if I'm going to go with it, I might as well go with what they're saying and see if it works out. So it will be interesting. But, you know, I can understand if the way Strasburg's pitched, I can understand if you want to spend that money on them, you know, go right ahead. You know, and then, you know, the interesting guy, and maybe you can help me with this, you know, Jacob DeGrom makes the start for the Mets. He's pitching against the Cubs tonight. Now, he's been terrible in his last two outings, but his price tag is still pretty high. It's $9,700. When you look at it, he's been negative six and then nine, but the start before that, he was 62. You know, the Cubs have definitely scuffled, but you know, I still have a tough time plugging in a guy like this against them, because I just never know when that lineup is going to break out. You know, are you, you know, and I obviously, you know, also we're, you know, we root for the Cubs here, so that makes it a little tougher also. You know, what do you think? I mean, is he gonna get back in form against the struggling Cub lineup tonight, or do you think maybe they're, you know, they're going to rough him up a little? Because, like I said, he's been bad his last two times out.
Well, you know, that's one of the things you would, you know, I think even for the Mets and DeGrom, you come in and you don't want to underestimate the Cubs. But at the same time, the way they've been playing, you definitely want to try to take advantage of it and kind of build, you know, his self-esteem back up to, you know, up against the playoff contending team. I mean, I didn't even realize this right now. They're under 500, or the Cubs are exactly at 500.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the Mets finally getting a little healthy. You know, they got Steven Matz back, they got Seth Lugo back, and of course the big one is they got Yonis back. So I know he's saying he still can't run at 100%, but he's getting close. And of course, you know, if he hits the ball over the fence, he doesn't have to worry about running. You know, and I kind of like his matchup against John Lackey. I got a feeling he can go out and have a pretty big night tonight. So I'm hoping that pays off for me. But yeah, that's always part of the interest here when you're putting together your FanDuel lineups. You know, like I know the other pitcher who's going to cost you tonight is Yu Darvish. They've got Yu at $10,000, but he's pitching against the Astros. Now, you know, he pitched against the Astros 10 days ago. He left just 5 innings, but he did strike out 8. It doesn't look like did he get a decision? No, he didn't get a decision. And he ended up scoring 30 points on FanDuel. You know, there was just no way I could plug him in with as well as the Astros are hitting. You know, now Texas may win that game. I would have no surprise at all if they did. You know, I think Joe Musgrove is coming back off the DL yet to make the start for Houston tonight. So I could see Texas getting the win, but I just can't see good old you putting up huge numbers tonight. Do you?
Not that I've been playing, but you know, every team has streaks where they, you know, are on a run, and every team kind of has the downside. So, I don't know. I think this may be the night to kind of go with you. You know, Houston just came off of losing a series to the Angels, you know, the first time this season within their division, I think it was.
Yeah, you know, I think my problem with him is when I'm paying 10 grand for a pitcher, I'm looking for a guy that's going to give me, you know, big, big numbers. And I'm just not sold that he's that guy. I mean, I'm looking for, you know, 50, 60. I think Max Scherzer scored 78 points. If it wasn't last night, it was the start before that. You know, those are the kind of numbers. When I'm paying 10 grand, that's what I want to see out of these guys. And I just don't think Darvish is that guy.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. You want to spend the money, but you definitely want maybe more of a feeling of a more of a for sure thing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I have no problem spending the money. I put a lineup together with Scherzer last night that oddly, or yesterday, I played an all-day league. And, you know, just my luck, it scored 173 points, and I didn't money. So it was just one of those leagues where I guess everybody liked Max Scherzer and picked better hitters than I did. So it just didn't work out for me. So, but all right. Well, you know, I know we can get back to baseball in a minute, but I gotta ask you about this, 'cause I heard this morning and I was looking to see if I could, find some more info on it. I haven't really seen anybody say anything about it, but there's, the former NBA referee who got caught gambling, and I can't remember his name. You know, obviously he was, you know, trying to fix games and all that other stuff, but he came out today and said that there will be a game 6 because the NBA wants it. So here you go. I found it. Thank God. Tim Donahue is his name. And what his quote actually is it says, Tim Donahue says, league will try to force a game 6. So now, you know, Dan, we've talked about this, you know, constant times. Are you buying this?
Oh yeah. I mean, I can believe it. Believe it.
You know, and I mean, obviously this fits right into what I've been saying all along. I mean, if I didn't know better, I would swear that the Warriors tanked game five just to bring it back so they could make all the money. You know, they had talked that they would make $20 to $22 million with the series coming back to California, and magically we've got a game five. So, yeah, I don't think I would have any issue at all with them setting it up with a game six. One of the things he points out, and I guess if you're watching the game, you'll have to look for it. He said that the league will instruct the referees to try to get Golden State Warriors big man Draymond Green in foul trouble.
I could definitely see that. I mean, I don't know. I watched a little bit of game four, and I mean, it just looked like Golden State was out there throwing up shots just like it was a shoot around. And I mean, what I was laughing at the most was, you know, I think you mentioned it last week, all the talk about Cleveland being tired. Yeah, they didn't look tired at all. So I don't know where, you know, did they get a magical amount of rest in between, you know, games four and three and four?
Yeah, they must have. So, you know, he also points out here, he says that he doesn't think it matters to the NBA which team wins it all. He says the league is just going to want as long of a series as possible, which is true because obviously the more games you have, the more ticket revenue you get. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, a situation now. And, you know, now with the, you know, the NHL wrapped up, not that the NHL was taking away any of the limelight from this, but, you know, the casual sports fan may have tuned into that over the NBA. You know, this is it. It's the baseball regular season and the NBA finals. And, you know, you would like to think that for a casual fan, a playoff game may take precedent over a baseball game that, say, doesn't involve your home team. So, yeah. they're gonna want this stage. You know, I mean, you can buy this though, right? Because I can buy this. I mean, I know he's not the most credible source, but what he says makes sense.
Well, I mean, maybe not credible as for what he did, but what he did was what he did, and it kind of fits into the MO of what the NBA does.
So yeah, because I saw this was one of the first things I saw when I got online today. And I was just like, oh yeah, I could definitely buy that or see that or have no issue with them doing it at all. I think you and I were pretty much convinced that that's what they tried to do last year with the Draymond suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of made sure, you know, Cleveland got back in the series and then Cleveland went on to win it. Now I didn't see any of the last game, but I did hear it was a little one-sided referee-wise towards Cleveland. Now, with the final score, I don't think that would have mattered because they ended up winning by, I think, 20 or 30 points just about. So I don't think the refereeing really had anything to do with that. You know, it's definitely one of these things that can, you know, can become an issue here. And, you know, is this something the NBA has to worry about?
No, they're the ones doing it, but I mean, in game three, Cleveland was the exception of, no, actually they led all four quarters. So with the exception of, you know, the second by two and the third by one, I mean, this game just, it was boring what I did watch. I mean, it looked like Cleveland was just throwing up, or Cleveland, Golden State was just throwing up shots just to, you know, the shooting percentages, not the shooting percentages, but, you know, keep them looking like they're actually trying to play a game. I mean, if you wanted to look at it as a physicality point, they looked, quote, tired in game four.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I didn't watch any of it, so I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, picking up bits and pieces or whatever, you know, whatever went on or whatever's kind of been said. So but yeah, like, you know, I mean, his, you know, like when, you know, when he started mentioning this, or, you know, it came out and they said it, I was kind of like, yeah, I could completely buy this without any real issues at all. So
yeah, you would think so, that with stuff like that, I mean, I don't know if how many people are listening, and with the game in San Francisco, Oakland tonight, he was interviewed on KMBR, you know, their major sports radio station there. So when it comes to, you know, to Golden State, you know, their fans are really going to take hold of that, especially if the Warriors lose tonight.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see kind of how this turns out. Now, it won't be interesting enough for me to actually turn on the game, because, you know, like Kevin Durant said, if I'm bored, don't watch, so I'm not watching. I'll have to send him a thank you tweet when this is all said and done one of these days and thank him for getting me off the hook there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, because I'm sure one way or another it'll be a big story. Either we're going to have the Warriors winning a title, or we're going to have the series going back to Cleveland. And, you know, I'll be kind of interested to see how it shakes out. Now, is that enough for you to watch, or are you just kind of done as well?
I'm pretty much done. I mean, I might, while I'm sitting at home watching something else, I might, you know, tune in on my iPad, but there's no real need to watch the game.
Well, oh, all right. Well, you know, I know Dan was regretting getting to this, but the Stanley Cup Finals did end last night. You know, Dan, and even though I came out on the winning end of it, you know, I got to tell you, I think the Predators got screwed on that first goal.
I actually was so disappointed. I didn't watch the highlights this morning.
Yeah, you know, they called it an inadvertent whistle, or they, you know, they lost sight of the puck, so they blew the play dead.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, they really blew the whistle early, because, you know, that puck came out right behind Matt Murray, and it was an open net, and I don't remember which Predator player it was, but he stuffed it home, and that should have been a Nashville goal.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously that, yeah, you know, that obviously changed the outcome of the game, because, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, there wouldn't have been an empty net at the end to make it a 2-0 game. It could have been, you know, we could have been looking at 1-1 heading into overtime. And, you know, that's a whole different, you know, whole different scenario. I mean, there's no guarantee there, but yeah, I didn't get it. Now, you know, I heard somebody say today, and I'm not up on every NHL rule, that they can actually look at that on replay and overturn that, but they didn't last night. Are you surprised they didn't kind of jump on that? Because, man, I really thought it should have been a goal.
So did I. I mean, I don't remember if they actually looked at it. Obviously, we looked at it as we were showing the replay, but I know the referees conversed about it and just flat out came out and said, you know, whistle blew, no goal.
Yeah, and it was Colton Sissons of the Predators who put the puck in the net. I was drawing a blank on his name there for a minute. But, yeah, you know, I mean, just kind of, you know, looking back, that's a huge game changer. You know, when it goes off that, because I mean, if it's 1-0 Nashville, you know, we're looking at a totally different game, and then the Hornquist goal ties it up, And even that was kind of a fluky goal because I think it went off the back of Pecorine. So, yeah, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, the prettiest goal. It was, you know, kind of a bad angle. I'm going to throw it at the back of the goaltender, and it just happened to go in. So, yeah, while the Penguins did win, and I know everybody is kind of, you know, on their bandwagon, and, you know, Sidney Crosby's now, you know, the greatest player to ever play or whatever. You know, we always get a little carried away after a team wins. I guess the term I said was maybe under a cloud a little bit. I mean, you know, it's your championship, but man, you didn't win it. You know, you didn't define the win, I guess is the way to do say it.
I mean, obviously, I was highly disappointed.
Yeah, you know, that sadly it happens. You know, it just kind of works out that way.
It's if they weren't the Predators, I would have picked the Penguins.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, you know, and you know, well, you know, the Predators were playing fantastic coming into the series, and you know, they dominated their two games at home. You know, just for whatever reason, they played a different style game in Pittsburgh, and you know, couldn't get a win. And like I said, this one, you know, like this was a Penguins win on the road, but you know, not something I would hang my hat on. You know, I mean, you're looking at, you got a lucky break, and then you got a goal off a back, and you know, then an empty netter. You know, these, you know, this isn't the kind of highlights I'm going to show when I'm putting the DVD together. Obviously, you got to put them on there, but these aren't the ones that I'm going to focus on.
No, but like you always say, a win's a win.
Yeah, well, you know, what do they say? You know, they don't ask you how you won, they ask you if you won. So, you know, and they managed to win, and they get the cup, and, you know, back-to-back for the first time since, you know, the Red Wings did it. What to say, 19 seasons. So, but interestingly, Dan, you know, one season ends and we're already looking forward to the next one. They put out some early odds already for Vegas, and Pittsburgh is the favorite to win the cup again next year. They are 8-1. Now, the group right behind them has the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Edmonton Oilers, and the Washington Capitals at 10-1. And then the Blackhawks come in at 12-1. So now you would think, you know, Dan, you know, Nashville, if you had Nashville this year, they were 30-1. They moved up to 14-1 for next year. And they're in a pretty big group there. It's the Predators along with the Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the New York Rangers, the Minnesota Wild, the Anaheim Ducks, and the Dallas Stars are all 14-1. And then if you really want to spend your money, Dan, and you're that long shot guy, maybe, you know, you go to Vegas, you just want to throw $10 on them or something, you can get the Vegas Golden Knights at 200-1 to win the Stanley Cup next year.
Wouldn't that be something like the Florida Marlins?
Yeah. So yeah, just imagine, you know, you're joking around. You go, yeah, you know, I'll put $10 down on this. Then what? You turn it into a $20,000. So, you know, it is. You know, I'll be interested to see how, you know, these things change, because you know, there's a lot of talk that the Capitals are going to make some big moves, and they do have. You know, your guy TJ Oshie is a free agent along with Kevin Shattenkirk and Justin Williams. You know, with the NHL salary cap, they're probably not going to bring all three of those guys back. They probably won't even be able to bring two of them back. You know, unless some of them are, you know, unless a couple of them are willing to take short deals. I saw that after the Penguins Stanley Cup win, Marc-Andre Fleury waived his, in the NHL, it's a no movement clause. So if the Penguins want to deal him, they can. And I know, I believe it was playing for the Senators, I think. They asked Dion Phaneuf, a longtime defenseman, if he would waive his no-movement clause for them. So, you know, it's a tough, you know, it's not like the NBA salary cap, which jumps tens of millions of dollars every year, or even like the NFL one, which seems to go up every year. The NHL has that hard cap, and it barely moves. So it's difficult to maintain a dynasty. I mean, we've seen it here in Chicago. You know, we've won multiple cups, but it appears the rest of the league is catching up with us. And, you know, they couldn't do much last offseason. It doesn't look like the Blackhawks are going to be able to bring in really anybody this offseason. So, I guess Pittsburgh's as good a favorite as anybody, considering it's June 12th, right?
Yeah, well, and I mean, it just seems like the guys, I forget who it was that went to Columbus. I mean, Columbus seemed to pick up their game this past season out of nowhere. You know, last year, Dallas kind of had a thing going. They had a couple of Blackhawks. Was it Johnny Oduya and somebody else? I can't remember anymore. But, you know, it's hard. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury goes and see what they're able to do. It would be, for all intents and purposes, it would be kind of cool at the end of next season they were able to, you know, bring a third one in a row. Although I'm still waiting for the expansion draft, and I want to see what Washington does because I still want to pick them.
Yeah, well, you know, they'll be, you know, I think probably the Capitals are the most interesting franchise going into the offseason. You know, because there's still all those Ovechkin trade rumors out there, which I don't understand. I mean, I don't know how, unless you're getting just a mint back. I mean, you're getting, you know, multiple surefire, you know, 30 goal scorers or something for them, you know, or, you know, these young kids that are just can't miss and they won't miss, you know, type of deal. Where, you know, you were getting four or five of those guys back, you can't move this guy. I mean, you know, you want to say, okay, if Sidney Crosby's the best player in hockey, you know, if you're in that camp or you're with Patrick Kane, Ovechkin is right there with these guys. You can go with any of those three guys. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, these are guys that we just don't normally see traded. So, I don't think they're going to do anything. I think they would be stupid if they did anything, you know, with him. But, you know, we'll see.
You know, my thing with them, too, is, you know, like you said, the free agents. You know, which defensive guy do you keep, Oshie or Williams?
Yeah, you know, like I think Shattenkirk is gone because even when they traded for him this season, I think they realized they weren't going to re-sign him. They were just bringing him in, hoping it would equal a Stanley Cup run. You know, he was the big defenseman to add on the market, and it just didn't work out. So I don't really think, you know, I don't think he'll be, he's really even on the table. It's what do you, you know, how do you pick between TJ Oshie and Justin Williams? You know, because you could probably only bring one of them back. So, but yeah, you know, that'll all get started, and you know, the expansion draft has got to be, you know, coming up here soon now.
I remember you talking about it. I think it was the 20th, but I don't know if that was this month or next month.
Yeah, I wanted to double check beginning June 18th. So this week. Or this weekend.
And we have the MLB draft starting tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, that should have started. I don't know how long the delay is, but yeah, that should have, yeah, it was supposed to start 4 minutes ago, so you know how drafts go and all that stuff, but You know, that's the weird thing about, like, you know, the NFL draft or the MLB draft is, you know, they're drafting these guys that we're not going to see for, you know, best case scenario, if you're a position player, what, next year? And if you're a pitcher, probably not for, you know, for 4 years down the road.
Well, my favorite this morning, and even, you know, the guys on local kind of laughed it off too. You know, when they were asked, you know, they put the question out there, who should the Sox, you know, what should they be looking for at number 11? And somebody texted them back saying, a guy who can contribute next year. And, you know, they laughed, I laughed, because we all know that that's not possible in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, those guys are very, very rare, you know, to find a guy who can, you know, who could go, you know, obviously get drafted tonight, get signed, go to the minors, play there, you know what, half of June, then July, August, and I think it ends in August, so 2.5 months, and then come back to help them. Yeah, you don't find those guys very often. So,
No, well, like you said, sign in the minors and then play in the fall league and then be expected to make the team start and be a contributor next April. I don't, that's not possible.
yeah, that's just you know, and, you know, you know, the weird part, like with baseball, is, I mean, you kind of look at it, and it's really the idea of you just take the best player on the board, or, you know, whoever you have rated the highest, and you just kind of go, don't you? I mean, you know, then it's up to your system to develop them. So.
So, and you know, with the White Sox, because obviously we're here in Chicago, I think it's the Twins have number one. So you would think that they would go with the best player. But, you know, that was kind of like, I don't know, it's just they brought that question up. And I mean, it's baseball. It's hard. It's not like it's the NFL where, you know, okay. You know, we need the defense on this guy. You know, we need a cornerback. The NBA, there's obviously only five positions, so you draft that. You kind of draft into that position, but with the best guys available. But with Major League Baseball, you know, like we said, you're not coming up next year. You know, not many players are like Bryce Harper or, you know, even Chris Bryant, who, you know, played a year in the minors and a handful of games down there to. You know, to come up and then win the Rookie of the Year, and that's not, it's not likely. So, and to sit there and be like, oh, well, what are we looking for? You know, because
Yeah.
especially today, guys almost play every position unless you're a pitcher. But I think that's a valid question. You know, do you go for a position player or do you look for a pitcher?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and, you know, like I said, I think when it gets to you, I mean, you just go, hey, you know, I want the best guy. I want the guy we've got rated the best. You know, and then as long as we did our scouting, you know, it should be okay. I mean, as long as you did your due diligence as a team, you know, you're just kind of counting on yourself, right? I mean, it's kind of, you know, kind of tough to go another route. So.
Well, you know, and like you said, you really should be looking for the best guy available and, you know, doing the due diligence, getting the scouting down. But at the end of the day, with the way this league is now, who's to say this kid's even going to be in your system in 2 years?
Right.
You know, I know
You know, and that's, you know.
we kind of bring it up a lot of times with the Cubs because Theo seems to draft just the same position, but you know, a lot of them are used as trade pieces. They're just kind of stuck in a position where all the guys you wanted are all for the same position. You have too many guys in your log jam. But at the same token, you know, it's not easy. And I think with the White Sox, they've got a nice system, a nice farm system of, you know, players. So I think for them, it is kind of hard to choose what you're, you know, who you want to pick. But I think they're in a position where, like you said, just pick the best damn guy available.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, odd things happen in the draft. You know, I mean, you look at it, you know, you look at the 2013 draft, two players come to mind right away. Aaron Judge lasted till 32nd with the Yankees. And then even an odder one, you got to go all the way to 124. That's where the Dodgers got Cody Bellinger. You don't think some teams are kicking themselves on that one right now, that Bellinger stayed on the board that long? You know, but again, you know, that's 2013. It took these guys 4 years to get to the majors.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you know, the Yankees and the Dodgers obviously did their scouting and looked at the potential. And I think sometimes with the way the game is now, you know, there's the old scouts are still looking at what could be, where everyone wants to know what they are now. And, you know, where you've got to be able to develop the kid, and does he have the ability to learn?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, you have to, you know, and that's the question. How do you project this?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, you look at a guy and, you know, if you take a high school player, well, is he done growing? You know, and a lot of times at that part, like I heard a couple breakdowns of some high school players, and now these are guys who are going to go at the top of the board that nobody's really sure will they be a position player or will they be a pitcher just yet? Because, you know, you're talking about kids who are 18 years old.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're probably not fully developed. Now they're going to get into a professional weight training system. You know, I know some high schools have very good programs, but now you're going into a major league training system. You know, so you're going to pick, you know, you're picking a guy that, in reality right now, you don't even know what the hell position he's going to play.
Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing.
No.
You know, as long as the raw talent is there.
So, yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, as long as, you know, you got to look at it as, okay, well, you know, if you draft a guy and he doesn't work out as a hitter, well, you know, you can just kind of turn him over and try to groom him as a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not all bad. I mean, you actually kind of get, you know, options. And, you know, like the guy that, you know, the guy everybody is predicted here as first is a first baseman left-handed pitcher from Louisville. Now, he's in college, and they still have him as this. His name's Brandon McKay. And they're not quite – everybody seems to think he's going to project as a pitcher. But, you know, who knows? If pitching doesn't work out, maybe he hits. So,
mm-hmm. You brought up Judge and Bellinger, and then, of course, you know, being here in Chicago, we've got Bryant and I forget Schwarber's name. I think one of the things that the Cubs lucked out with on Bryant is you had a natural talent there.
Yeah.
You know, was he all college and then rookie of the year and then MVP? That doesn't really happen. I think, what is he, like one of five that's done that? I don't even know if there's that many. And then you have Schwarber where, you know, he didn't really spend much time in the minors. So, you know, everyone's going, oh, well, he's got to get back to Schwarber form. And I found it interesting that guys locally here were going, well, what is his form? Who is Kyle Schwarber? And when you think about it, he was down in the minors. He didn't play the outfield for Kane County. He DH'd.
No.
He may have caught what I think it was like a handful of games. So you got a guy who, you know, like you said, it's not a bad thing because you can kind of figure out where you're going to go with these guys later on. But then within, you know, after the next year, he's thrown up in the majors. and then he gets hurt, has a fantastic postseason, which, you know, worked out to their advantage. But had he not gotten hurt, would we see the guy that's playing now?
Yeah, that's a good question. So,
you know, and obviously
well,
that's
one go,
that's
Dan,
never going to be answered. But they relied on these guys' natural talent as opposed and bringing them up so quickly as opposed to developing the talent.
So, well, they have for the White Sox. They got two mock drafts here, and the guys disagree on who the White Sox are taking. One of them has them taking Evan White, who is a first baseman out of the University of Kentucky. And then the other guy, this is Jonathan Mayo's thing. He has them going with J.B. Bukauskas, is a right-handed pitcher out of North Carolina. So now the Cubs are way down. They have two picks. They're at 27, and then they pick again at 30 because they get compensation for Dexter Fowler. At 27, here's a couple names for you. They have I don't remember this guy's what is his first name? Last name is Callis, and I'm drawing a blank on his first name. Nate Pearson, a right-handed pitcher out of Central Florida. And then Jonathan Mayo has them with Nick Allen, a shortstop out of high school in San Diego. And then at 30, they both haven't taken pitchers. One is Drew Rasmussen out of Oregon State, and the other one is Alex Lang out of Louisiana State. So, again, you know, these names mean pretty much nothing. And, you know, even if you hear it, we may not see it. And it's Jim Callis. I don't know why I keep forgetting these first names today. But, you know, that's locally. That's what they say they're doing here locally. So we'll see, you know, how it goes or if that's where they land or, you know, who knows.
Yeah, you know, and with the White Sox, the kid is truly the first base, you know, a first baseman, major league caliber. That wouldn't be a too bad of a pick. You figure in 3 years, Abreu will either be gone or strictly DH'ing.
So, yeah, and, you know, I mean,
I forget
the you, know, the, you know, the mock drafts are fun, and, you know, we joke about every, you know, all of it all the time, and, you know, they were consensus on the number one pick, and Minnesota didn't take them. So, you know, that's just, you know, they were all set that it was Brandon McKay, and, you know, Minnesota went with Royce Lewis, you know, whose name was up there. I mean, I had heard it when I kind of saw the names mentioned, but, you know, again, you know, that was the guy they liked, so they went their route, and, you know, we'll have to see come 3 years, 4 years, maybe even 5 years down the road if they made the right choice.
Well, and that's the thing with the Major League Baseball is you, once they make their pick, you really can't say anything.
No.
You know, negative or positive.
No, I mean, what
it's
can
not
you
like
say? Yeah. And, I mean, you know, what can you really say? Because, I mean, we don't, you know, we won't know, you know, for years now on how these picks work out. And yeah, you know, I mean, some guys come up faster than others. And you mentioned locally, you know, everybody was high on Schwarber. Ian Hop was killing it in AAA. Well, now they're both here and they're not hitting. So, you know, where do you go? You know, I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot you can, you know, not a whole lot you can do about it. You just got to kind of hope they work it out or, you know, get them back on the shuttle to Iowa, which doesn't appear to be in the plan. So,
no, and
you know, when that happens, you know, the Twins took Byron Buxton number one overall. I don't remember how many years ago that was, and they're still waiting for him to hit.
Yeah. Well, and I'll be the first to say I wasn't really a big fan of Hap coming up. I still felt that he should stay down there. But, you know, they had to rush it and, you know, have another guy playing in position that everyone else has where it's, you know, they have too many guys for the same spots. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, when you see how quickly
yeah, you know,
baseball figured it out. still think he could have finished out the year, came up as a September call-up.
Yeah, I thought Hap coming up was more a disclaimer on how much they dislike Alberto Almora more than anything else, because it was just another way to keep him out of the lineup. So, yeah, it was, you know, just kind of like, oh, well, you know, here you go. And, you know, we can, you know, keep this guy down or get rid of this guy or whatever they've got to do with him. But,
well, and even then, I mean, I get it when you're not a big fan of a guy, but even bringing him up, you're taking away any kind of trade value for Albert Almora.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they buried that by this point as it was, wasn't it? I mean, did he have some value left?
I don't know, but yeah, you're right, because they kind of more or less killed that when they signed John Jay, and now.
Yeah.
I saw an article, I couldn't even read it because I'm like, you guys are freaking ridiculous. You know, could John Jay be the answer to the Cubs leadoff problems? Yeah, Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not for the next 100 games. So it's just, I guess that's why we're not in management, right? We just talk about it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just one of those.
I don't know. I mean, and I get it. It's not an easy job that they have. You know, it's not an easy job that they have, but some of it just seems kind of common sense to me. And, I mean, you and I could just sit here BSing two guys on a phone, and sometimes I feel like we have more of an idea of what the hell's going on. I mean, it's not arrogant, but.
No, you know, You do wonder when it's kind of like, okay, great, you know, why are we, you know, why are we still dealing with this when, you know, a lot of the problems are stuff that we knew coming in was going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And yet,
you know, the one thing
nobody said.
No, go ahead. I do enjoy.
No, that's what I said. Just pretty. Yeah.
Chicago media is not just eating it up and buying it all now. They're questioning things now too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Obviously, you know, the World Series win is going to get you a lot of slack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question just becomes, how much slack does it get you?
For how long?
You know, right. You know, I mean, we're looking at a team that's 500 through 60 games. You know, I'm still not ready to panic because the division sucks. You know, if they were in the, you know, NL East or the AL West, I would be worried right now because they would be buried double-digit games back. So, you know, it's not a huge deal. I mean, you're looking at a team that's all of a game back from Milwaukee. And, you know, I just, you know, what's odd is everybody keeps saying, well, you know, the Brewers can't hold this, blah, blah, blah. They may be a 500 team, and in this division, that may be good enough. You know, you haven't seen anything that doesn't say it's not. So,
yeah.
That, you know, that's scary. I mean, if, you know, 82 and 80 wins this division, it's going to be a joke. And for any other reason, that could be Milwaukee.
Well, and Cincinnati had the top spot for a few weeks there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the weird thing is, like, you know, the Pirates are in last place. They're 28-35. They're 4.5 games out of the division lead. So it's not even like they're buried. You know, I mean, in some of the other divisions, you know, the Phillies are, well, both the Phillies and the Padres in the other two divisions are 16.5 games back in last place. Now that's buried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody talks about how, you know, well, the AL East is so great and everybody is still in it. Well, yeah, even there, Toronto's in last place. They're 7.5 games back. Pittsburgh's only 4.5 back. So, you know, I mean, literally when they say you can't count anybody out in this division, you really can't count anybody out. So, you know, it's just kind of weird the way it's played out. I mean, I don't know a reason. I don't have a reason. I wish I had one and could tell it to you. You know, Schomburg Stu's pulling what little Harry has out left because he can't figure it out. So
maybe they're all tired.
Maybe if they were basketball players, that's what they would be. Or at least that's what everybody would say about it.
St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Chicago, they've, you know, 3 years in a row, they battled it out, won, you know, the most games, and now they're just tired.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, there is a little bit of a hangover, you know, from playing the longer season. You know, I mean, I think we've seen that. It happens to teams in all sports. You know, obviously it didn't affect the Penguins too much. They were able to bounce back and win it again. But you wonder, you know, like, you know, I believe Miguel Montero was the one who said it, that they were acting entitled. And you just wonder if maybe they're not off that horse yet, then they're entitled.
No, I think they're off the horse, and I think they realize that they've got to do something to get their groove back. But again, I also think part of it is the constant shifting. And I don't mean field shifting because someone's up to bat. I mean, you know, who's going to play where? Well, we only know that Rizzo's going to play first. And yeah. I mean, I think now we've settled in on Brian playing third, that we're not going to play this, he's getting a vacation out in right field kind of crap. But I mean, other than that, I mean, if you're part of this team, you're Ben Zobrist, you're Javi. Addison's going to play short, but you know, he's back. But I mean, everybody else, where are you going to play today? I don't know. And I know they're professionals and they should be able to just adapt. But the one thing I think we both know about baseball is pitchers to the fielders, they're all creatures of habit. And when you start pulling them out of that kind of that habit, they kind of, it messes with their minds. No,
yeah, you wonder, you know, obviously, you know, a guy like Ben Zobrist is used to it. You know, this is how he made his major league career. You know, if
yeah,
it's one guy, I don't. Yeah, but, you know, I think he kind of knew that this is what Madden was going to do with him. You know, but yeah, you wonder if, you know, a guy like Javi who gets bounced around, or, you know, even, you know, Ian Hop who came up killing the ball, but, you know, has been bounced around, or, you know, you wonder how much effect that has on him. And now, obviously, they'll never admit any of it. So, all right, it's time to wrap up the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio, but don't worry. Ann and I are back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Check out sportstimeradio.com, see what's going on over there. Follow that link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you really want to. Hunt us down. We don't mind. Again, big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can get this podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
Sportstime Radio.